In memory of Hiroshima Day on August 6th, the Hiroshima Day Coalition in Kingston, in partnership with Peace Quest, Providence Center for Peace, and Justice and Integrity of Creation, organized various educational events and opportunities for activism. Hiroshima Day remembers the day when an atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, Japan, in 1945. This day also serves as a day to remember the devastating consequences of war and a day to advocate for peace and nuclear disarmament. Leading up to the event, the coalition and their partners hosted various events, including a free film showing of The Day After at the Screening Room, lantern-making events in the downtown market, and a window display at Novel Idea Bookstore on Princess Street. On the weekend of August 6th, they hosted a procession to commemorate the day. Prior to the event, I sat down with Judy Wyatt, member of the Hiroshima Day Coalition, to talk about the importance of the day, her experience commemorating this day in Kingston in past years, and this year's initiatives.
To start us off, would you like to introduce yourself and maybe give folks a bit of background on the Hiroshima Day Coalition here in Kingston?
Yes, my name is Judith Wyatt, and I'm a member of the Hiroshima Day Coalition. And our coalition has been together with pretty much the same group of people on and off for almost 40 years. I started attending Hiroshima Day 40 years ago. And I, at that time in my life, I was thinking that maybe I would like to have children, and realized that if I was going to have children, I wanted them to be born into a good world, a safe world. And I thought I better get involved in the peace movement. Mm-hmm. And so I got involved with Kingston Operation Dismantle, and then Hiroshima Day seemed to be a logical connection of that. So we've been doing our commemoration services on August 6th for a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that background as well. I was wondering if you could speak to the importance of remembering this event in 2023.
In 2023, remembering Hiroshima and Nagasaki as the cities that were bombed by the Americans in the Second World War is extremely, extremely important. It's the first use of atomic weapons, and more than 200,000 people were killed. The bombing of Hiroshima took place on August 6th, and a lot of the people who fled from Hiroshima, among the survivors, they fled to Nagasaki, believing it would be a safer city. And Japan had already signaled to the United States its intention to surrender. But despite that fact, the bombs were dropped again on the city of Nagasaki. And ever since then, the bulletin of the atomic scientists have created something called a doomsday clock. And it's a clock that shows how close we are to midnight. And until recently, the closest that we've ever been to midnight, which stands for a repetition of these bombs, nuclear war happening again, has been 100 seconds to midnight. And recently, because of the war in Ukraine and the threats by Russia, the clock has been moved to 90 seconds to midnight. So we are, in fact, closer to a repetition of a nuclear war than we have ever, ever been before. And it's very important to be cognizant of that. A nuclear war would be the worst kind of calamity, worse even than climate breakdown and climate change, because the world as we know it would be destroyed. There would be famine, there would be radioactivity. It would be just a terrible, terrible calamity. And it surprises me that so many people are unconcerned about this. A recent poll of Americans asked them, what are the 10 things that they're most concerned about? A nuclear war didn't even make the list. So it's important that we remember what happened on August 6th and August 9th in Japan, and we reflect on the dangerous world that we live in today, where now not just one country has nuclear weapons, but there are 8 countries that have nuclear weapons.
You were also just saying before we started this interview, you were at Novel Idea getting the window display set up that you have there. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to that and what that will entail.
Well, we've got two large banners, one that reads Nagasaki, one reads Hiroshima. The letters are vertical in black felt on a white, long white piece of fabric. And when we use them on the day of Hiroshima Day, August 6th, they're always there in the background. And as I said, I've been involved with this event for 40 years, and those banners were at the very first event I ever attended. So they're more than 40 years old. So they're kind of relics for us. Mm-hmm. People who look at the display will see many books that are available at Novel Idea and magazines that are pertinent to the subject. They'll also see a paper crane that's suspended in front of a banner that has been painted for a previous Hiroshima Day event. And if they look carefully around, they will see paper lanterns that have been used in the past. For many years, we've had families create paper lanterns, which we floated on styrofoam with a candle inside in water We've done that at the fountain across from City Hall, Confederation Basin. And then we've done that in the pool at McBurney Park. And this year we won't have lanterns floating, but we will have them available for people to see, and we will light them when dusk falls.
I was wondering if you could speak a bit to the significance of lanterns for Hiroshima Day. I believe there is specific meaning behind them. Is that true?
Yes, the lanterns are a way to acknowledge the passing of a spirit, remembering the spirit of somebody who's died, and they are lit in memory of people. And this is something that occurs in Asian countries. And so when we've done this over the years, we've had people decorate them in whatever way they feel is appropriate. And some of them we've saved throughout the years. Many of our lanterns have things written on them in Japanese, because in the summers, Queens often has an English language class for Japanese students to attend. And many times we've had Japanese students who are in Canada just for the summer attend our ceremony and are very pleased and touched that we, so far from their home, continue to remember this terrible event that they certainly know about.
I'd also like to speak about the main event. I believe it's on August 6th. That will be the procession.
Yes. The procession will start at 7:30 from St. George's Church. And there will be bells ringing at that time, and we will process from there to St. Andrew's Church. And the event is going to take place on the side lawn of St. Andrew's Church, which is on Princess Street. And we will have our banners, our Hiroshima and Nagasaki banners there, and we will have lanterns lit, and there will be some speeches and some songs. The other thing I will add is that at our event on the 6th, there will be an opportunity to sign a postcard to send to our Minister of Foreign Affairs, Melanie Joly. Canada has not yet signed the UN Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. And this is a very, very embarrassing and shameful thing. We've worked very, very hard to sign other treaties. We banned cluster bombs, and that's something that Canada and landmines, and Canada was at the forefront of the banning of that. And to think that we are not a part of the treaty of prohibiting nuclear weapons is something that is very embarrassing for me as a Canadian. And so we will be urging Melanie Joly through our postcards to get involved in that discussion and to have Canada sign and then ratify the treaty. And there's another opportunity on that day, and at the lantern making at the market, is to sign a petition asking our mayor, Brian Patterson, to become a mayor for peace. And there is an organization sponsored by the United Nations that is a coalition of mayors for peace around the world. There are 339 cities around the world that have a mayor for peace, and 113 of them are in Canada. And so we would like to see Mayor Patterson declare himself as a mayor for peace.